I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
For those of you who have ever served in the military during wartime and other situations that we know of, say in the police force or fire department, one of the things that you will remember vividly is if you have someone serving with you who is willing to lay down their life for you, that you know you can depend on, if it comes to it, that they're going to come and they're going to be there for you, even if it means their life. It's a wonderful thing to know that there are people who will lay down their lives for you. And although we don't say it in the military, we know it's an act of love. What else could it be that you would die for someone else? I've always enjoyed TV shows that show the same kind of thing. Now, I know you're not going to like the same things I like, but I was a kid. I'm going to write that off because I was little. But one of the favorite shows I had in the 60s, and I was real little in the 60s, is watching Star Trek. And the reason is, in the show, every week someone was sacrificing for the others. Every week, somebody was willing to lay down their life to ensure that the rest of the crew went on. There's other shows like that, but that just struck me as a kid. I thought that's so cool because they're willing to die for each other. And I really think that had a lot of influence when I went into the Navy, and I thought, you know, that's what you do. This is a team. And although I wasn't thinking at that point in terms of brothers and sisters in Christ, they were my brothers and sisters in arms. And so we looked out for one another. That's what it was all about. And that's what this writer is talking about that Lisa just read. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Now, before I go any further, I want to add this because I think it's so important. A lot of people in today's society like to come to church or watch an evangelist on TV so they can feel good. You know, they want that feel-good sermon. And I like doing that. I think sometimes I've actually said some things that were actually uplifting and made people feel good. But at the same time, you know, you got to tell the truth. You got to look at the Scripture and you got to report what the Scripture is saying to us and how it's saying it. So be prepared, because this is going to be a call to be the Christian that perhaps you believe you are. Now, don't say anything out loud. I know some of you are pretty bold. But I want you to look around at your brothers and sisters here today. And here's what I want you to do. As you look around, how many of them can you honestly say to yourself you would lay your life down for? How many? And remember, I preface this with your brothers and sisters in Christ. How many would you lay down your life for? Then I would like for you to ask yourself again in your head, not out loud, if there are those you would not lay down your life for. And then ask yourself why. Do you allow earthly things to affect how you feel about your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you look around the room and do you say, you know, they don't believe the way I do. I don't like them. I don't think I will die for them. They have a different political alliance, or they have a different type of company, or they have something I just don't like about them. And if something happened, I'm not going to be the one to lay down my life for them. Is that what this scripture just said? Be picky. Choose who you want to lay your life down for. Is that what it said? Here's what Jesus said. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. will people know that you're a disciple? Can you say that your actions, your living out of your Christian life, show people your true beliefs, that you're a dedicated Christian? Again, if you're looking around and you're saying, I wouldn't die for her, I wouldn't die for him. You gotta have that ability to look inside and say, who am I really? What do I really believe? During one of his political campaigns, Theodore Roosevelt, out in Oyster Bay, Long Island, invited a group of people out there, a lot of reporters, to just have a talk with him. So they show up at his farm, and Theodore Roosevelt, he's standing in his house, and he rolls up his sleeves, he undoes his tie, and he says, if I'm going to talk to you folks, let's go out to the barn. I got work to do. So he goes out to the barn, and he has a pitchfork in his hands, and he walks out there, and they're all following him, and he looks, and John, where's all the hay? He says, I'm sorry, Mr. President, I haven't thrown it back down since the last group you threw it up for from Iowa. Appearances are great, aren't they? You want to look like the worker, you want to look like the Christian, you want to look like the person who's living out your faith. But when it comes down to it, would you? Would you be the person to lay down your life for someone else? And you might notice what I read from John 13. Jesus didn't say, oh, by the way, here's an option for you. Love one another. No, here's a new commandment for you. So, are you a true disciple? You've heard me say before, and I'll say it again, and I'll continue to say it because I know it's true. And I'm including myself in this. We like to say, I'm a follower of Jesus. I love Jesus. But when we look at what Jesus asked us to do, we say, yeah, well, I love him. He's a great guy, but not so sure I want to do that. Now, many people think that when Jesus came to make things easier for us. Even the Jews, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they said, this guy's making it too easy. He's taking people off the hook. They should follow the Ten Commandments. Did he make it easy? Really? Didn't he make it that much harder? I'm telling you to turn the other cheek. I'm telling you to prepare a table before your enemies. I'm telling you to heal and help your enemies. Is that easier? I think it's so much easier for people to hate, to hold anger, to hold ill will toward others. That's the easy stuff. Old Testament, eye for an eye. Boy, don't we like that one. I've heard some people. They say, yeah, by golly, if they do it to me, I'm doing it to them. Because what Jesus taught was too hard. Right? That's some hard stuff. Appearances are great. But actually living the faith is tough. There's greater consequences when one chooses to use the faith rather than live the faith. And those consequences can be very severe. This came from a newspaper article, and I'd like for you to hear it. And this was included in a man's book. He put this newspaper article in his book. He says, there was a man who made free use of Christian vocabulary. He talked about the blessing of the Almighty and the Christian confessions, which would become the pillars of the new government. He assumed the earnestness of a man weighed down by historic responsibility. He handed out pious stories to the press, especially to the church papers. He showed his tattered Bible and declared that he drew the strength for his work from it as scores of pious people welcomed him as a man sent from God. Indeed, Adolf Hitler was a master of outward religiosity with no inward spirituality. He had no inward reality. Do we have inward reality? Or are we just kind of walking along like Adolf? Yeah, look at this. Look at my Bible. Listen to my words. I'm going to tell you about Scripture. But when it comes to living it, well, that's different. That's very different. We have our anger. We have passive-aggressive behavior, revenge, hate, animosity. All of those things are easy. The hard thing is to turn the other cheek. The hard thing is to forgive. It is hard to forgive. But to love your enemies, it's tough. Jesus calls us to do some very tough things. Oh, by the way, I want to mention, it was easier to kill Jesus than to let him live and hear his words for the Sanhedrin. Why? Well, you see, there's this old saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words, well, don't tell them that because words hurt them. And they nailed a man to the cross because of words. Nothing else. It wasn't like he robbed a bank. They just didn't like what he said. Do we do that in today's world? Let's just say we elect a leader. And suddenly people say, I hate him, I don't like him or her, they're terrible, I don't want that leader. Oh my gosh, I wish someone would shoot him. I've actually heard people say that about people in office. Shoot them. They're horrible, they're terrible. But then their guy gets elected. And they say, what's wrong with you people? You're so narrow-minded. Why don't you like my guy? Really? That's the world. If it's what we want, then it must be right. But if it's someone that we don't really care about, then we'll just say all the horrible things we want. Do all the horrible things we want and cheer when they fail. That's exactly what the Jewish leaders did. They wanted to see Jesus fail, but Jesus didn't fail, and Jesus kept going, and Jesus kept preaching, and they said, then we must kill him. Because what he's teaching is actually harder, and we don't want things hard. British actor Michael Wilding was asked if actors had any traits which set them apart from other human beings. Without a doubt, he replied, you can pick out actors by the glazed look that comes over their faces when the conversation wanders away from themselves. The conversation went away from the Pharisees and the Sadducees. People were looking to Jesus. They didn't like it. We are it. I'm not letting this guy get in there and do anything. Our writer says, little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Does God know whether or not you follow the teachings of Jesus or you do it in words and speech? Let us not love in words and speech, but in truth and in action. Let us be the people that we've been called to be. I ask again that you look around at your brothers and sisters in Christ and ask that hard question. Am I living the faith in truth? Would I lay down my life for them? Whether I agree with them or not, whether I like their political stance, whether I like their status in society, do I love them as a brother and sister in Christ? It's not a hard question unless you don't want to answer. What actions are you willing to take for those around you? The author of 1 John reminds us of the words of our Lord, and this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this, we know he abides in us, by the Spirit he has given us. Those are beautiful words. Now, I'm going to just give you one more thing here, and I want you to think about this. Another group of reporters one day was talking to Bart Starr. Anyone remember Bart Starr, the great quarterback of the Green Bay Packers? And they were asking him what it was like to be with Vince Lombardi. And he said, well, let me tell you about going in to Coach Lombardi's office. You walk in and there's this big mahogany desk. It's beautiful. Then you look behind and there's a big chart behind his desk. He says, on that chart is a little bitty square, little bitty. And it says, Vince Lombardi, coach and general manager. And he said, then a line goes down and there's a big square and it says, everybody else. That's exactly the way the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Sanhedrin looked at life. Here we are, and here's everybody else. As though they were God. We want everyone under our power. We're not a big group, but we're in charge. We're the coach and general manager of the spiritual life. Wow. That's kind of scary. Well, let's read that last verse again. And by this we know he abides in us, by the Spirit he has given us. Let today be a day of self-examination where we look for that Spirit that he has given us. Can you find it? Does he abide in you? And if so, how so? And in what ways are you willing to live that out? May God's grace always abide in each of us. And may we work hard to love, not in words or speech, but in our actions. Because that's how people will know whose we are. What we do, not what we say, but what we do. It's more than words. It's living the faith. Let us pray. Loving God, as we come before you this day, we know oftentimes we fail to live the faith. There are times when unknowingly we do things, and other times that we knowingly avoid doing what you've asked us to do. Fill our hearts with your Spirit, fill our minds with love for one another, and help us to live the faith each and every day, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.